The post we're unpacking is "The Fastest Rider in the Race Didn't Win It," from the Training Signals blog, and that title is not exaggerating. Lorena Wiebe has won 4 of 5 stages at the Tour of Britain Women, but Kim Lecourt-Pinard won the overall.
4 stages to 1, and the rider with 1 stage takes the race. Ugh, come on. That sounds backwards.
Exactly, until you look at what each stage actually asks the riders to do. The post's argument is that the gap between being dominant and winning your specific goal can come down to one demand your training doesn't quite match.
So this is really about specificity, with a very dramatic 5-day demonstration.
A perfect one. The race ran from August 19th to the 23rd, finishing in Royal Leamington Spa. Wiebes won stages 1, 2, 4, and 5, a sprint record for the event.
She was plainly the best at the thing that decided most of the stages.
By a wide margin, but Lecourt-Pinard won the final general classification by 24 seconds over Leanne Lippert. It was her first overall stage race victory, and by most reporting, the first time a rider from Africa had won the event.
And all the decisive damage happened on the stage Wiebes didn't win.
Stage 3, on the Great Orme. It covered about 105 kilometers from Molde to Landudno, then finished on a 2.5 kilometer climb, averaging just over 6%. The final kilometer and a half went beyond 7%.
Not an endless mountain, then. Short enough that you might underestimate it. Steep enough that you absolutely should not.
See, that's the part. Lecourt-Pinard attacked roughly 2 kilometers from the finish, right at the base of the steepest section, and rode alone from there. She finished in 2 hours, 46 minutes, and 10 seconds.
Lippert?
13 seconds behind, Wiebes cracked from the front group, finished 10th, and lost 37 seconds.
Which doesn't sound catastrophic across a whole week.
It wasn't catastrophic. She already had 2 stage wins and would collect 2 more. But those 37 seconds cost her the leader's jersey, and ultimately the race.
Because the later flat stages offered sprint victories, but not a realistic way to reclaim that time.
Right. As the post puts it, those stages don't hand back time. They confirm who already has it. Wiebes kept proving she had the best sprint, while Lecourt-Pinard protected the advantage created by one very different effort.
Let's define different, because they were all still riding bikes very hard.
4 stages effectively asked who could produce the most power in the final 200 meters. That's a handful of seconds at the highest power a rider can produce, after enough fitness and positioning to reach the final corner intact.
And the Great Orme asked for what?
Roughly 8 or 9 minutes of sustained, near-threshold power, uphill, on tired legs, after more than 100 kilometers and 2 prior days of racing. No lead out to finish the job, and nowhere to hide.
Same race, same riders, completely different exam question.
That's the post's central image. Sprinting and that sustained climb are described as almost 2 different sports, wearing the same jersey. Wiebes had an excellent answer to 1 question, repeatedly. Lecourt-Pinard had the best answer to the question that decided the overall.
And the post says ordinary athletes can fall into the same trap, not because they're doing nothing, but because they keep improving the quality they already enjoy measuring.
Yes. You train the question that feels comfortable to answer. It may be easy to measure, unambiguous, and satisfying to watch improve, a functional threshold power test, for instance, or a 5-second power record.
Clean number, clean progress. Very reassuring.
Meanwhile, your actual goal may ask whether you can hold zone 3 on a climb 90 minutes into a group ride you don't control. That is messier to reproduce and measure, so the mismatch can sit unnoticed for months.
The post gives the example of a century ride with a genuinely hard climb around mile 70.
Or a Saturday group ride that splits on the same hill every week. You might raise your functional threshold power all winter and feel fitter on flat rides, yet still get dropped on that exact climb.
Because a stronger flat 20-minute test doesn't automatically prove you can make the same power after 70 miles on a steeper grade.
Exactly. The post distills that into a sharp line. The number moved, but the limiter didn't.
Wait, that's the whole diagnosis in 6 words.
It really is. Maybe peak threshold power was never the missing piece. Maybe it was durability on tired legs, pacing discipline, or practice on the specific gradient the goal contains.
So, a threshold workout isn't automatically specific, just because threshold matters somewhere in the event.
Right. A threshold block closes the right gap only if that's the gap the event is going to open. Training Signal says this is why sessions in its plans explain what they're building toward and how that connects to the goal, rather than only presenting an interval set.
And the logic can reverse too. If the goal contains no climb, pursuing sustained climbing power you won't need could be another mismatch.
Yes, specificity here does not mean train harder. It means train the thing the day is actually going to ask you.
Okay, so how does the post suggest identifying that thing?
The practical move is simple. Before building a training block, write down the hardest moment of the goal in concrete terms. Not be fitter. Describe the effort's duration, steepness, how deep into the day it arrives, and what kind of fatigue will already be in the legs.
In other words, don't describe your aspiration. Describe the scene where it might come apart.
Nicely put. Then look at whether your training matches that shape. The post points to your own power file as one way to check.
This is where the app's power curve comes in.
Training Signals calculates a rider's best 1 minute, 5 minute, 20 minute, and 60 minute power on every ride with enough data. It uses the ride's second by second file rather than a simple average, so the rider can inspect the actual curve.
And the shape matters more than declaring one shape universally better.
Exactly. The post says a rider whose 5 minute number towers over the 60 minute number relative to functional threshold power looks more like a sprinter. When those numbers sit closer together, the rider looks more like a diesel.
Neither is wrong. The only question is whether that profile matches the goal.
And if it doesn't, the mismatch is the gap to close, not the number that already responds easily. That distinction keeps the athlete from polishing the strength while leaving the decisive weakness untouched.
What if someone's goal isn't a race and has no decisive climb, sprint, or finish time?
The post explicitly covers that. Training Signal's general fitness model isn't framed as a diluted race plan. It optimizes for consistency and how training feels, rather than peak output on one particular day, because that is a different goal with a different valid answer.
Good. Specificity doesn't require inventing a finish line you don't care about.
Exactly, and fixing a mismatch doesn't mean abandoning the quality you're already good at. The post is very clear that Weebs should not stop being a sprinter, and other riders shouldn't throw away their strengths either.
You add the complementary quality alongside the strength, not instead of it.
For a rider limited by sustained power on tired legs, the post says that usually means deliberately placing tempo and threshold work late in longer rides, once some fatigue is present, rather than testing it only while fresh on a Tuesday evening.
But sprint work stays. It just stops being the only question the plan rehearses.
Precisely. Now, the post also puts important boundaries around its interpretation of the race.
Because we don't actually know what Weebs and her team were targeting.
Right. They may have been focused entirely on stage wins and sprint classification points, not the overall. If so, there was no training mismatch to explain, just a different objective, executed extremely well.
And race outcomes aren't raw physiology contests conducted in a vacuum.
Team tactics, race radios, and who marks whom can shape the result as much as physiology. One 5-day race cannot prove a general law. And none of us was inside the team car.
So use the pattern as a lens for examining a goal, not as a verdict on why a professional rider lost.
That's exactly the responsible reading. The lasting image is still powerful. Weebs may very likely win more stages than anyone at her next race, but this overall wasn't decided by repeated sprint dominance.
It was decided by 2.5 kilometers that the field only had to survive once.
And that lands the takeaway. Identify what your goal's hardest moment actually looks like. Then ask whether the training answers that question, or merely the question you already enjoyed answering?
A small distinction on paper, potentially the whole event in practice.
This discussion reflects the post's opinion and personal experience. It is not medical advice or individualized coaching. You can read the full post, "The Fastest Rider in the Race Didn't Win It," at trainingsignals.cc/blog.